hang in there and stay in the presence of God. Remember that you have His unwavering attention.
In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about confidence in God. The last thing I did yesterday was to read to you that wonderful Psalm 27, one of my favorites. And guess what? I'm going to read it again. I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that bears repeating, it's God's Word. And this psalm has always been such a comfort to me. In fact, the first two verses are among the verses of my life, the verses on which I hang my soul and my confidence. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Undoubtedly, I'm speaking to someone this morning who is afraid, someone who needs a stronghold. The stronghold, you know, is the safest place in a castle. And a castle has a moat around it and a drawbridge and walls and towers. Inside that, there is a stronghold, the very strongest place, which if all the enemies manage to break through the other protections, they'll never break through that one. Think about that in terms of whatever your fear may be. Perhaps the greatest test of our confidence in God is spiritual darkness, feeling abandoned, forsaken, too sinful and weak and helpless. Maybe you're afraid that you've never even really been saved, never really become a child of God. Well, if you have made that commitment, then take these words from God. "When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army beseech me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident." Is there someone who has suffered at the hands of your in-laws? Maybe you feel as though war has broken out against you, and nobody's really on your side. Your wife or your husband doesn't understand what his or her parents are doing to you. Where do we put our confidence? "One thing I ask of the Lord," says the psalmist in verse 4. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Now, you know, for years I read that verse and I was thinking that what I'm asking is that the Lord will take me to heaven. And that's a legitimate thing to ask. If you belong to him, I believe he will take you to heaven. But the psalmist is asking that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's what I want. I want Christ to be at home with me, and I want to dwell, to live in, to make my home in his presence. That is a supernatural life, isn't it? And of course, it's not one that I can gain by myself. "In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." And I can imagine someone listening to me and saying, "But I don't feel his presence." No, I understand how that is. We'd love to be able to feel his presence. We'd love to know that his arms are around us. We know it because we have his word. He will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. "Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy." Try praising God in the midst of your trouble. "I will sing and make music to the Lord." Is singing and making music to the Lord a part of your life? It should be. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Satan may be lying to you, you know. He may be telling you that you have never really received Jesus Christ. You can make sure by receiving him today as an act of faith. And then you can say to Satan, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have put my trust in him, and he has accepted it. But to all who are truly God's children by faith, there come times of feeling when we just can't put ourselves in a right relationship to him. I was at Scroon Lake, New York, some months ago with my husband for a women's conference, and I was upset about a conversation that Lars and I had had, and it was keeping me awake. And I knew that what I needed was to pray. And I felt that I could get nowhere. Somehow I was not connecting. And this was a painful time. It went on for several hours at night. Lars, of course, was sound asleep. But I just thought, Lord, I can't even pray. I don't even know what to pray about. You know this whole situation. You heard both sides. You know who's wrong and who's right. Probably both of us are wrong and both of us are right. But I just didn't feel as though I was connecting. And I was even tempted to just forget it all and go off and do my own thing. And I realized that there's never a time when I need God more than exactly that kind of a situation. When I feel that I'm not connecting, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say, I just want to forget it and go off and do my own thing. That's when I need him. That's when I need him the most. And I need to take myself by the scruff of the neck and turn my spiritual eyes heavenward and pray this psalm. I'll go on now with a psalm. In verse 7, he says, Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, Seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. Well, that doesn't exactly describe the situation that I was in. My husband was not a false witness, and he certainly wasn't breathing out violence. But there was some kind of a misunderstanding, and it affected my feelings. So let me encourage you today, never mind your feelings. Hang in there and stay in the presence of God. Hold to his written word and hold yourself before it. Remember that you have his unwavering attention. He's not going to reject you. He is not going to forsake you. He is not going to close his ears. He wills your sanctification. What a comfort that is to me, to realize that God wills my sanctification far more than I do. I want to be holy. He wants it much more than I do. He loved me first. It was for me he left heaven. It was for me he lived and suffered here on earth. It was for me he went to the cross. Would he abandon me now? Remember, it's for you. Put your confidence in him. That's an act of the will, not a condition of the emotions. It's a voluntary choice, independent of experience. We live in this constant tension, don't we, here in this world. We are natural beings, and we are living, as Christians, a supernatural life. But we still have to eat and sleep and wear clothes and work and interact with other people and work with other people and live with other people. And we have a sinful nature in us, we have those two selves, the self that wants to do its own thing and the self that wills to do God's will. We have to put our confidence in God repeatedly, continuously, in the midst of these situations that remind us of the tension of our life here in this world. We owe him confidence. It is our proper, appropriate, adequate response. He is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He's omnipotent. He can do everything. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere, and he is love. The indispensable condition of our personal transformation in Christ is confidence in him. Confidence in him is the proof of our surrender and reliance. It is the sign of being dead to myself. A verse which was one of my father's favorites and one which he often wrote in his letters to us, Isaiah 41:10. I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That's Isaiah 41:10 and 11.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.